Anna Morales keeps a portrait of her maternal grandmother on her desk in her small Chicago student apartment. Her resemblance to her grandmother is striking. They share large, dark eyes, chestnut hair, and a narrow chin. Just seeing my grandmother smiling at me helps bring down my anxiety levels, Anna tells me when we meet for the first time. As we talk, Anna leans over a sketchbook and doodles with colored pencils. I wonder if drawing also helps her manage her anxiety. Anna, who has just turned 21 and has a clear sense of herself gained through time and talk therapy, plans to go to law school and focus on social justice. But even when she was young, indeed by the time she was 12, she was politically engaged and reflective about the world. I begged my parents to take me to human rights marches, she tells me. Everywhere I looked, there was so much social and environmental injustice. Racism, voting rights, terrorism, global warming, climate change, spates of school shootings. On the one hand, I found a lot of confidence by being so engaged. I wrote op-eds for my middle school newspaper and sold candy bars to raise money for kids caught in the Middle East conflict. But immersing herself in larger social issues also made her feel as if the little things I was going through in my own teenage life couldn't be valid. I had this sense that it was silly for me to be upset about anything happening in my personal life. Toward the end of middle school, I became popular for the first time, Anna recalls. Then social media took over. Social media was terrible for me. I already had a lot of discomfort with my body image. So much of social media is imbued with this constant, pervasive sexism. That year, in middle school, a lot of girls would get together to watch TV shows like Pretty Little Liars, in which perfect-looking 20-somethings played perfect-looking 16-year-olds. They had Victoria's Secret fashion show viewing parties and posted pictures of themselves on Snapchat trying to look sexually mature and model perfect. That wasn't good for me or for my self-image. When Anna turned 14 and entered high school, the social scene grew far more challenging. The friends I'd had in middle school dropped me. They said I was too nice, and my concern for social justice was fake, that I was trying to get attention. I couldn't make new friends because my magnet school was so tiny. Anna's precocious self-awareness became a double-edged sword. As her peers made fun of her, she began to turn her capacity for observation and reflection against herself. I had this sense that if I were skinnier, or prettier, or happier, or less serious, I'd be included in the things everyone posted about on Snapchat and Finsta, she says, referring to the private accounts teens use to share inside jokes and gossip with a restricted group of peers. Maybe I'd even have a boyfriend. I assumed there was something missing in me, and that was the reason I was missing out. Using the language for self-reflection that comes with therapy, Anna sees, looking back, how the role models imposed by the world around me for how to be female were bombarding me from screens, phones, computers, TV, which everyone my age was on 6 or 7 hours a day. The screen version of the feminine ideal overshadowed real life. I never got to choose how I wanted to be as a female teen. Anna's mother, a physician with the U.S. Army Medical Corps, was stationed overseas. I felt very alone. I told myself, oh, so what if I don't have friends? It's not that bad. It could be worse. I wasn't suffering from atrocities. There was no war or school shooting or flood or fire on my own doorstep. So how could my own sadness be valid? But inside, my depression snowballed. I didn't understand what I was so sad and fearful about. We didn't even have the pandemic. It was more like a pandemic of a growing feeling of unsafety about everything, everywhere I turned.